Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. The Reverend Tom Stammen, whom I consider to be a friend. As you know, we don't put folks at this pulpit that we don't believe in. Tom, amen. Amen. They believe in you. Praise God. I'm not alone. I honestly can't tell you all the stuff. He's gonna show you some of the things that he's doing later by video, which is gonna be way better than my words, because pictures speak better than words. But I do want to say this. The core value system of what I believe the kingdom to be, and some of you heard me preach on it last week, the kingdom of love, that the core value system, the highlighted principles, the really important context of what the kingdom is and should be, Tom and I have nearly 100% agreement. Nearly 100% agreement. He was super thrilled to find out that prophetically we're called to be the most healthy, the most wealthy, and the most prosperous group of people in the region. And if I told you some of the things that he prophesied over me last night, it'd probably pin your ears back the way it pinned my ears back. But you would also believe it, because there wasn't a single thing that he said that I was like, oh man, that's way too far out there. I'm like, oh man, that's next week. Amen. And it's the big stuff. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Reverend Stammen is right on board with what we believe and where we're going. So I want you to, for those of you that may potentially come to church this way, if you've got any walls or guards or if you've got any defenses, any shields, just go ahead and lower them down. You're in a safe place. Everybody? Okay. And just let ministry flow from him. Let the truth flow so that we can all go together where we're called to go. Amen. All right, so please honor me by honoring Reverend Stammen with your heart and your generosity in your attitude for greeting him. So come on up, Reverend Stammen.
Thank you. You can be seated. Appreciate that much. Glory to Jesus. My favorite introduction, Pastor Steve gave, this is my friend. Jesus said, you are my friends. And how many want to be friends with Jesus? Say amen. Amen. And friends with his friends. Amen. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
And the devil's bad.
Oh.
And all the time. He's bad to bone. And the Vikings are bad too. Yes, sir. We got beat by the Bears twice last year. It was very depressing. It was embarrassing. But I had... How many of you have ever eaten bear? I had bear last night. It was a gummy bear. And it tasted sweet. Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11, please. So good to be here. Thank you, Pastor Steve, for the hospitality last night. Not too many guys make you a supper at 11:15 at night, but he did. And it was very good. And his wife made breakfast this morning, and now I got to go on a diet. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? I don't have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel the prophets, who through faith. So I want to talk about faith, not the happy faith, not the feeling good faith. I'm talking about faith that requires action. So Father God, help us not just to believe and feel good that we believe. There's a lot of believers. But help us to be people that have faith that requires action. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to encourage you to take out a piece of paper and pen to take notes. If you don't have one, look for a neighbor with a 50-pound purse. If it's a man with a purse, probably from Chicago. But anyway, or take out your cell phone, iPad, Kindle, neighbor's shirt, whatever you got, and write these things down, or underline in your Bible at least, or you can even take notes on my newsletter. That's okay. Point number one, who through faith conquered kingdoms. I was so happy to hear that pastor preached on the kingdom of love. You know, Jesus didn't talk a lot about the church. He talked a lot about the kingdom. The church is part of the kingdom. The church is one aspect. The church meetings are one aspect of the kingdom. But the kingdom of God is more than just going to church. The kingdom of God is more than a revival meeting. The kingdom of God is not just believing happy thoughts in the church. The kingdom of God changes culture. And the problem you're having in your state, in our state, Minnesota, and in Honduras, and everywhere around the world, write this down, it's called the clash of the kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of light. And they will not get along. The line is being drawn very clearly in this country. It's no longer, you can kind of vote whoever you want, it's all about the same, and da-da-da-da. No. You have states that are saying, if that they know the heart's beating, and you take that baby out of the womb, you're going to jail. There's other states, the baby can be born, just let it die, if you want it to die. Clearly, like this. Marriage between a man and a woman, not a man and a brother. Okay. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. We can still love people that believe that. And if you come here, hallelujah, we love you, but it's still wrong. Just like it's wrong to, you know, beat your wife, even though there's a holy book that says you can. I'm going to tell you which one. Hey, yeah, yeah. Okay. I kill you. No. So the point is that there's right and wrong. And we need to bring the kingdom of God to this earth. Many Christians believe, oh God, send the rapture before we all fall apart. I don't believe in just we're all going to fall apart. I believe we're to take the kingdom. How many can say amen? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in. So whatever in heaven should be on earth. So we go to Honduras, the second poorest country. This side of the earth next to Haiti. And it's dark, and we just got a call from my wife before the meeting, and they're protesting because now the government says you can't go to school for free, you have to pay. Well, that's going to take like 80% of the kids out of school. You get sick, you don't have the money for the doctor, you die, which is kind of the way it is anyways. Now it's even worse. So I just got that news 30 minutes ago, and my heart sunk, and they're protesting, and they're shutting down roads and burning tires and cars, and I feel like I'm in France. And all these different things, I'm like, this, my stomach's turning upside down. And then pastor tells me all these rotten news about your state before the meeting. That's okay. And I'm like, it's sick to my stomach. Just sick to my stomach. And I feel like, God, just come quickly. And God says, no, kingdom. The kingdom is to come. Through faith, say faith.
Faith.
See, I'm not really impressed with a believer. I'm impressed with a disciple. Anybody can believe. I believe, okay, woo, you're going to heaven, that's great. I'm believing for disciples. Say disciples.
Disciples.
Disciplined, sold out, dedicated people in the name of Jesus. So not just believing to have a happy thought, but believing that changes the kingdom. There's a great book called Seven Mountains. And so our philosophy in Honduras is not just to have a church service. There's a lot of churches. Our philosophy is to take the country over through good education. Through economics, through the arts, through the sports. And so when you go and see our PowerPoint, and you see the different things we're doing, we're not just trying to just save people and give them a meal every day. We want to change them into nation shakers. So if you come to our orphanage, you will not feel sorry for our children. You probably cannot adopt our children, because our children are going to be nation shakers in their country. So we don't want them to come here and just be one of 300 million people. We want them to change their nation. How many can say hallelujah? We want to bring the kingdom of God down to earth. I've always wondered why the government fights us and fights us in Honduras and fights us and fights us and create all kinds of problems. And God showed me it's because you make them look bad. They've got all the money. They got the money from America. They got all the taxes. They got this and that imports. And our little area that we have. Oh, that's my phone. Sorry. Sorry. That's a church in Texas. Okay. All the money that they have, all the connections, all the power, all the control, and our city is one of the best cities in their country, the city that we're building from scratch. and they don't like it because it makes them look bad. Now, our goal is not to make them look bad, but our goal is to bring the kingdom of heaven. Now, on earth, they don't have the kingdom of heaven. But how many know we do? Say amen.
Amen.
And God wants to change your mentality. Yeah. You're a child of the living God.
Amen.
He's the king of the
kings.
He's the king of the kings. Who's the kings?
We are.
We're the kings.
Right.
Well, I'm just trying to survive because country boys will survive. I don't teach surviving, I teach thriving. How many can say amen? You come to our orphanage, you ask our kids, what do you want to do for a living? Guess what the most common three things are? Doctors? Lawyers? No, teachers are poor. Preachers are really poor. Sorry. This is a poor country. They don't want to be poor. They're already poor. Engineers. They want to succeed. They understand education will change a nation. And we teach them that. We teach them excellence. The country, they throw garbage everywhere. Not our place, you don't throw garbage everywhere. This is where the kingdom of heaven is. Say amen.
Amen.
We don't build cheap stuff just to save money. Because this is the kingdom of... We build the best because these kids are the best. How many can say amen?
Amen.
That offends some people. Like, they have it nice. They should. However you treat the least of these, how you treat Jesus. You're cheap with Jesus. You're cheap with people. You're cheap with Jesus. He's not too happy. When I came to your house, they didn't serve me junk. I mean, I had steak for breakfast. I went, oh my gosh. If I had known that, I might have eaten so much the night before, right? I mean, they didn't say, oh, you can sleep next to the dog. speaking of that, my wife told me my dog in Honduras got stuck in a closet overnight with a bunch of sandpaper. So I called him up. I said, how do you feel? He said, rough. Oh, come on, that's some good stuff right there. Okay, right. I'm getting a little bit too intense here. I've got to lighten it up a little bit here. Right. How do you think? Well, I just want to pay the bills. I just want to retire and live on social insecurity. I want just enough to pay. God did a miracle. I paid my electric bill. You're in America. He can do more than pay your electric bill. I know it's shocking. But He can do more than that in Jesus' name. Some of you get my humor next week. The point is this. Okay. You need to bring the kingdom of God. So we are believing in Honduras to be tops in agriculture. And so if you don't know much about agriculture probably down there, but they have Brahmin cows. They're skinny and bony and not a lot of meat, not a lot of milk. They can survive hot weather. That's it. But they don't produce hardly anything. So we introduced Holstein bulls. Came in. And they're kind of mean. They're a bully. And now our milk cows produce 2.5 times higher than the national average in 1 year. And it'll get better than that as we go on. Because we believe we're to bring the kingdom of God. And milk is a good thing. Amen? We even got our first black heifer. It's a female cow, if you didn't know. We're hoping to get chocolate milk. We started planting mangoes. Anybody here like mangoes? Mangoes are good. We're getting a harvest of mangoes now. We have 1,000 mango trees. They're dangerous. They can fall on you. And you could get mangled. Seriously. Sirius is XM. Okay. Not every joke is for every person.
Amen.
Wow. That's got to hurt, friend. Okay, right. Whoa. Jesus healed my heart. Take the wheel. Okay, right. So the point is this. We believe education is important. And God put it on our heart, I want you to build a university. I said, a university? I'm not much in education. I'm more into sports. Sorry. And, my wife's the doctor. I'm the durr. But I do drive or fly about 270,000 miles a year, and I have stamina. And so I don't have a lot of patience, but my wife's a doctor. She has a lot of patience. So we go to middle university and teach the Bible, business, agriculture, medical, and computers to train up the future leaders of the nation. How many can say hallelujah? God has a plan for you. It's to be a king. Say a king. A king of the kingdom. Well, I just want a job that pays the bills. No. You should want a job that pays enough to pay other people's bills.
Amen.
I can hear you.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm not that smart. Let me tell you, I've met a lot of wealthy people who are not that smart. Dumber people than you can make it. Anyway, so, and myself too, right? Say excellence.
Excellent.
So I come to this church. I have like three people want to help me. Like, are you guys like sick here? Usually I have to do all the work myself, which is fine. I don't care. But help, excellence. Things are nice. Things are clean. How many can say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
That's what God wants. Do you have excellence? How many know whatever you do, do it to glorify God?
Amen.
Bring the kingdom, say the kingdom.
Kingdom.
I believe you're going to raise up many worship teams to come out of here.
Amen.
I believe the church is going to say, can we just borrow one of your worship groups? Because you're going to have like 3 to 5 of them and they're going to want to participate more and there's not enough space. Amen. Does that make sense to anybody?
Amen.
So God put in our heart in Honduras, I want you to build me a worship room. Because our kids were starting to act like American teenagers. How long is it going to last? Hurry up. And they have to go to church like 5 times a week. So, I mean, they're like sitting like this. And God said, I want you to build me a worship room and they will worship. I went, okay, it's going to cost about 50 grand. Can you afford it? How many glad we serve the Jewish God? How many know God ain't broke?
Amen.
That's why God made Gentiles. Somebody has to pay retail. So people tell, I ask people to come on mission trips. You want to go on a mission trip? Can't afford it, can't afford it, can't afford it. I can't afford it. I don't feel led. I don't feel led, so I gave him a pencil. Can't afford it, can't afford it, can't afford it. I said, if you can't afford it, then get a Chevy. And drive it to the levee. It might be dry. But have some of that good pie. Let's keep going here. That's not any funny. Anyway, we serve a big God. Say big God.
Yeah.
So build the worship room. We had 6 instruments. Now we have 76. And every kid plays an instrument. They pick and choose which one they want to play. We bring in teachers to teach them. And we're training up worship leaders. How many can say amen?
Yes.
To bring the kingdom, say the kingdom.
Yes.
Are you about the kingdom?
Yes.
Or is it just about you?
No.
Do, re, me. No. We want to build the kingdom of God. And how many know God deserves the best?
Yes.
So I was driving behind this car. It was a Bullet. I don't know who owns that car. Oh, there he is over there in the corner. Now that's a king car right there. I mean, he turned around and started going, well, not quite that bad, but so I got to pull behind that guy and see what kind of car that is. I don't care about cars that much, but I'm happy you have a Bullet, right? We have 2 guards in our place. Their names are Smith and Wesson in Honduras. Bring the kingdom, say the kingdom.
Kingdom.
All right, I'm going to stop and pray for one or two folks, and it's going to be you right here in the red shirt. Come on up here. We're going to pray for you. And real quick before the rapture, I want 3 to 5 people to come stand by him. 3 to 5 people come stand by him. Real quick. Thank you, Dr. Yep, fast. I'm into fast. Stretch forth your hands, Pastor. Put a hand on this man. He's an up-and-coming king. The guy dreams big, thinks big. He'd be a great coach, great captain. Kids think you're pretty cool. I see him running a business or two. I could see him maybe run for mayor someday, kind of like Pastor. I pray God for him to be the impact man in Jesus' name. He's got the big hands. You ever shake his hands? He's got a bigger heart than his hands. He's a big teddy bear, and he loves people. He's going to do the work of an evangelist. I can see him going to the jails and bringing the love of God. I can see him dealing with very successful business people and bringing the kingdom of God. Whether they're poor or rich, it don't matter. The love of Jesus can flow through this man to bring them to Christ in Jesus' name. He is a man that is fearless. Send me to the nations, Lord. And I pray, God, you will provide for him economically to be able to speak and travel and minister to people. I pray, God, use him mightily in these days, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You're not a failure. You're just getting started. Is that good? Give him a hand in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, if you don't like your pastor, you're a moron. Write that down. That was a good one right there. His wife said, amen, I like him. Ooh, he's cute, whatever. Never saw your face get red twice in one service, Pastor. And we're not even done yet. Okay, point 2, Pastor's going to like this one, I know he is. Punto 2, administer justice. Administer justice. There's one denomination that beats probably all the denominations when it comes to fighting injustice and doing humanitarian, and what denomination is that? Might surprise you. It's the Catholic Church. They fight injustice. Right? Now they have their own set of problems. Little boys, okay. Their own set of problems, right? And I pray God that they correct that, and they need to correct that, and they should have corrected that a long time ago. However, for the most part, they do fight injustice. A lot of Christians don't want to do that because we want to create controversy. We want to love people. Well, when somebody's getting abused and you do nothing, that is not loving people. That is unloving people. I was in a meeting in Iowa, and this couple said, our grandkids are being abused, and They're taking the littlest boy and they're sticking him in a closet all day. And he's like dying. And we don't know what to do. I went, gee, oh. Call the police. Tell them, you know, call the police. Well, they know it's going to be us and we don't want to get in trouble. And give me the address. And I called right there. I just right there called 911. This address, da-da-da. The police came. I heard the story later. Knocked on the door, heard the kid crying, let me out of here, let me out of here. Screaming and crying. They opened the door, it's the police, too late. Found out what had happened. And they took the kids out. The kid was on their bottom 3% of his weight class. He was dying. And you know what they wanted to do after they went to court? Put the kids right back in that home. Yeah. But they got a free lawyer, the bad people, and the grandparents had to pay for a lawyer. Not justice. And thank God they got custody of the kid. And he changed his name to TJ, Tom Jacob. Because somehow, he didn't know, but the family knew. And it's all about fighting evil. How many can say amen? In fighting evil, part of it is praying, but part of it is doing something. I can't hear you. If you see somebody getting hurt and do nothing, well, let me give an example. Anybody here used to be in junior high? Okay. My mama called me special, and my middle name was Ed. I was special Ed. Anybody remember how rotten and mean those kids could be in the junior high bus? Anybody remember that? Maybe not you guys, our Minnesota. I don't know. And there was a girl in our school, and she probably was not the, well, she was probably the ugliest girl in the school. Not laughing at her, not making fun of her. I'm just saying that she just was. She had ugly glasses and greasy hair and didn't smell nice. And of course, you know how our kids are in school. They pick on somebody like that. And I was taught, you just don't do that to people. I don't know, maybe taught different. I don't know. And one day she was trying to sit down and nobody let her sit down. The bus couldn't move because nobody wanted to sit next to her. And she's coming up toward me and a guy walks up behind her and goes, and spits a green, yucky, loogie right in her hair. And I watched her. I was like, me to you. She fought and fought. Tears began to come. And the whole bus, they all laughed. I sat there, and I did nothing. Nothing. As I saw her cry, I still feel bad to this very day. I was as guilty as the person that spit on her because I did nothing. I didn't have enough faith to fight injustice. Can't hear you. In your state, they're letting little babies die in the counter. We're not going to say nothing because we don't want to offend people. Jesus is kind of offensive. How many know what I mean? How about this sermon? You generation of vipers. That's a little offensive. And they've been like point number one. Point number two is you're just tombstones. That went over real well. But you know when you fight evil, not everybody's going to like you. If they're what? If they're evil. And God's saying, I want you to fight injustice. Because there's a lot of it. What they do to little girls around the world, it's unforgivable, not theologically, but trying to use it the strong term. They take little girls out of Chicago and they put chips in their shoulders and arms and bring them all the way across Wisconsin on 94. They know where the trade route is. They move them 20 minutes every 2 weeks. They know where they're going, into St. Paul, and they spread them out through Des Moines and Sioux Falls. And it comes from the Chicago, and they know about it. And so God put it in our heart to start a safe house. What you're doing with these awesome young ladies touches the heart of God. You say, well, I can't let that happen in my home. I appreciate that. But, you know, you could bring some food over. You could maybe donate some clothes. You could maybe come clean their house once or twice. But for heaven's sake, we should do something. I can't hear you. People say to me, well, Brother Tom, God takes care of your orphans. Not really. He helps us. We don't have food come in the mail. We have to raise our food. I don't get checks signed by God. I get checks signed by people. None of our nannies are angels. They're not from California. Angels. They're all human beings. Every one of them. Not one angel showed up to help us. Now they protect us. They keep the weather rain so we get crops. God does his part, but God doesn't do everything. I can't hear you. If you think that, then we have an excuse not to do anything.
Right.
Say, by faith.
By faith.
We help administer justice.
Right.
We fight for justice.
Right.
Well, God, let your angels do it. Angels won't do what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Angels don't feed orphans. People feed orphans.
Amen.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
Angels don't provide for these two. You guys provide for these two and the people that give to you. Can't hear you.
Amen.
God influences people. God gives you the health, the heart, the desire. But God doesn't do it all. And if you think that, you're sorely deceived.
Right.
He's looking for people like us, say us, to fight injustice.
Right.
So do you want to fight injustice?
Yes.
You want to fight evil?
Yes.
So we had a partner down in Honduras, and I was a lawyer in law. Okay. And not two good signs right there. And one day my son called me up, who's an attorney, and said, "This isn't good news. Pull over. You're not going to like this." I said, "What?" The attorney took a loan out against your property in Honduras, and they're foreclosing today, and you got to come up with $270,000 in 4 hours. Now, how many here would have a hard time coming up with $270,000 in 4 hours? There's a couple people here that could. Let me know your name and number, just in case I ever go through that again. And Pastor Steve, I knew five kings that could come up with it. They just didn't happen to answer the phone. But I told them what the problem was, and I probably couldn't blame them. But very stressful. And I wanted to quit because, you know, these are our kids, but they're not like my biological kids. And how many just don't have 270 grand sitting around? And so I'm stressed and I wanted to quit. But how many married men have a wife? That's very deep. And how many married men marry the best looking woman you could get? Whatever that means. Okay, right. And that's very deep. And so my wife's a little bit sneaky. I'm ready to quit. I'm so angry I lost my voice. And she sent a little picture of our two littlest girls on one of those teeter-totters. And the Holy Ghost said, "Are you going to let them die?" I said, "Well, you could have stopped this, Lord," and blah, blah, blah. And he said, "Are you going to let them die?" No, God helped us. And, you know, it took a lot. It was the human work, God work. 6 weeks we came up with that money. Thank you, Jesus. Saved the orphanage. And 2 months ago I was there and I was playing little dollies with the two... Sorry, it's kind of very masculine, but the little girls, right? In the playroom there and playing little dollies and different things. And God said, "Aren't you glad you didn't let them die 4 years ago? Aren't you glad?"
Amen.
See? What I'm trying to say is this. Fight injustice! How many can say amen? In every form, fight it. Now we don't have to fight the people. We need to fight the situation. Now my son became an attorney. He passed two bar exams when he was 24. I passed one too, but I wasn't a Christian. Somebody asked me what I thought about AA. I said, "I think AA is for quitters." And so there was a school, and they would let their kids off. Name, we'll get it later. Middleton High School, they let their kids out for lunch, and so... A group of ladies got together and started giving away free lunch from Chick-fil-A. And they called it Jesus Lunch. Maybe you heard of it. It was about a couple years ago. And well, then all of a sudden, 400 kids were coming and somebody complained. And they said, the principal said, shut it down. Even though it's in the park, it's not on the school property. It's totally legal, but shut it down. City administrator agreed, shut it down. So they needed an attorney. And the attorney said, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, they don't have to shut it down. And it made the Madison paper. Was on Milwaukee TV, was in the Chicago Tribune, Minneapolis Tribune, 700 Club, CBN, Christianity Today, Fox News, number one story on the internet. And the attorney was my son. Stood up for the truth. But one big church, one big evangelical Bible preaching church, the biggest one in Wisconsin, said, "Don't fight, we're just to live at peace." And you're going to hear that, Pastor Steve. Don't fight. But you have to fight.
Amen.
I can't hear you. I'm not talking physically fight and that type of thing. We're beyond that, right? I'm talking about we have to say things, do things, pray things, and do something. How many can say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Don't sit there and do nothing. Here's the lie of the devil. Write this down. Since I can't help everybody, I won't help anybody. Yeah, you can't feed every orphan. We got a book out there for $30 a month. It's $1 a day. It's cheaper than Starbucks. And you can sponsor a kid. Well, maybe you can't afford to do that. Well, maybe you can just drop some clothes off at your place. Everybody can do something. This is America. How many can say hallelujah? Hallelujah. So if you don't know what to do, ask your pastor. One thing good about the church, if you can fog a mirror, you can be a volunteer. Isn't that right? He'll find something for you to do. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to stop and pray for people. I'm going to pray for that lady sitting back, kind of sitting like this. She's kind of my helper. Yeah. I think, are you married to someone, too, around here? Oh, yeah. He is. Both corners of the church. That's good. Okay. Would you all stretch forth your hands? We're going to pray for her in Jesus' name. And I do believe one day, Pastor Stephen, you will plant many more churches. You tried it a little bit, I think, back in the day. And I believe this couple is going to be ordained ministers and preaching and ministering. They already are. Well, I believe in confirmation. I was Catholic. Right. And she loves the fire of God. She's detailed. She gets things done. She's picky. Amen. Excellence. If you're not dressed right, there's a whisker out of place. She'll lovingly pluck it or something, right? Because she loves you. And so, God, we thank you, God. And one day, God, you'd open that door. Full-time ministry in Jesus' name. Until then, God, help them make as much money as they can. I pray for you to pay off your house in Jesus' name. Now that you're going to be poor in the future, but just as just one less burden, we thank you, Father God, she can be organized things and disciplined. And people that are lazy aren't going to like you. And she's okay with that. I pray, God, for her. I know he's the music guy, but let her write a song in Jesus' name in worship. We thank you for this great couple being raised up. The devil will try to cause division. You're going to say, no, we walk in unity. We're John 17 people in Jesus' name. So thank you that there's a fire in her that will not go out. And I pray you have one of the biggest houses in the country. In county, excuse me. Not the country. Not going to happen in the country. But in the county, yes. Why? So people can stay there and get healed and get better. Maybe even a little foster care or an adoption someday. God, thank you for the big heart they have. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them a hand. God bless you guys. Amen. How many are glad you live in Illinois? All three of you. Wonderful. But let me just tell you, it could be worse. You could be living in Nebraska. I saw a book on tourism in Nebraska. It was one page. It said, "Welcome to Colorado." And that state's going to pot. Mile High Stadium. Okay. Sorry, I won't stop cracking jokes. Scooby-dooby-doo. Okay, stop it. Let's keep going here. See, I make Pastor look good with all my bad jokes. Like, we want you back. My wife is Hispanic. She's from Peru. She has a great accent. Very romantic. Romantico. She said to me one day, "I'll be Bach." I said, "I'll be Beethoven." Okay. Anyway, let's keep going here. But point number three is this. It's that delayed laughter makes me a little bit nervous there. It's just try to hold it in, okay? All right. And gained. Say gained. Gained. Not the gain. No, not gain, but gain. Jesus. Oh, this is kind of cool. Interesting. There is a city in your state called Gays, Illinois. I preached there 2 weeks ago. I never preached to so many gays. I wanted to tell that joke there, but I went, I'll kind of hold off on that one. I'll find another place I can tell that at. But back to the point. Well. And I prayed for you. Like, oh, Jesus, help me. Right. Okay. Gained. Say gained. Please don't steal my show. What was promised? So write this down. What has God promised you? What has God promised you? By faith? There you go. So take out your pen and paper, write down. God has promised me. Write it down. Write down the vision, make it plain, write it down. He's promised me, he's promised me, he's promised me. Love your church, it's not big enough. Have you guys been looking for land, by the way? Yes, sir. On a really good location?
Yes, sir.
At least 5 acres? Okay, maybe 10, right? So I see you guys getting a piece of property and starting to raise up money to have a building fund. So I see a building drive, there's a few people who drop in 10 grand, 20 grand, and there's just 50 bucks, 100 bucks a month extra, take it from Starbucks or something. Which is, you know, not a very good company anyways, in a sense. And so I see guys building a really cool building. How many can say amen? And it's write this down, it's a regional center. It's not just for just the few people coming, but pastors are going to come, like trained and equipped, because you have a Bible school there. And I really think they need to have I don't want to step on your toe. An entrepreneur training. So I stepped on his toe. Just call a tow truck. Thank you, brother. Anyway. So, what has God promised you? I was in Honduras praying, and the thought came to my mind, why don't you raise up Olympic athletes? Okay. Honduras has never won an Olympic medal. So what if, from the City of Refuge, our place, we train up Olympic athletes that win an Olympic medal? Then everybody in the world will know the first Olympic medalist came out of the City of Refuge in Honduras. I think it's a great strategy. It's intelligent. It's probably from God. So I know when things are from God, they're smart, they're intelligent. I told my wife the other day, I have an idea. She said, did it hurt? Anyway. And so, we don't know any Olympic athletes, but by faith, say by faith, we got a wrestling mat from Sioux City, Iowa. Started setting up a weight gym. We have a baptismal tank that is 25 meters long. You know, we're Christians. We can't have something like that in an orphanage, for heaven's sake, to train up Olympic athletes, because that'd be wrong. Or would it? I don't know any Olympic athletes, but God does. And a lady from Texas called me up and says, I have a friend in Oregon, and he's a four-time NCAA champion wrestler. He was an Olympic coach in Guam. His brother's an Olympic coach for America. I think he'll talk to you. I called him up, picks up the phone. He's coming to Honduras, and he's being hired by Jordan to come in and teach wrestling, a Muslim country. Muslims like wrestling. And by the way, my friend's wife was in the Olympics for volleyball. Thank you, Jesus. So we got a two-for-one deal. Hallelujah. Amen. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Gained what was promised. Gained. Right, thank you. So, what has God promised you? You have not because you... So why not ask? My wife's dream is to build a hospital. And we believe in healing. We had a person get healed of cancer 2 weeks ago. But God also uses doctors. And at times, people maybe don't have the faith like they do in this church. And so, better than dying is go to a hospital. And so, it's going to cost like $10 to $20 million. I went, 10 to what? $20 million. And I gave her that look, and she gave me the look. And how many men have ever had the woman look? The woman look, have you seen that? Yeah. That looked like, okay. She said, Callate la boca. Okay. It means, we don't tell you what it means. It means shut up. Okay. And she said, O.T., Tom, O.T. of little faith. I said, what do you expect? My mama called me Thomas. It's not my fault. Could have called me Bob or John or Jonah. Not Jonah, but Peter or something. Of course, it could have been worse. She could have called me Judas. Or Beelzebub. That'd be a hard name to overcome, right? Beelzebub's preaching at our church this week, okay? The point I'm trying to make is this. God wants to promise you more, but you're not listening. And you're letting ye little faith, your little faith, say, it'll never happen. I'll never be able to do that because I'm too old. Well, age is mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter. How many can say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
God is going to speak to you to be a champion in His kingdom. How many can say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I was preaching in Missouri. Middle of nowhere, literally. Near Arkansas. Called out a young man about ninth grade. I said, God's called you to win trophies and ribbons and you're fast and you're quick and blah, 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 blah. And his dad says, my son is the number one runner, freshman runner in our state and number six in the nation. And we want to raise up Olympic athletes. Well, it doesn't cost a lot to have a running track in a third world nation. Hallelujah. I'm saying that God is putting things together for His kings and His priests. Amen? I can't hear you. And this church is not an average church. And the pastor keeps speaking that. I hope you kind of believe him. As Moses said, Moses' mother said, he was no ordinary child. He's just a baby. Right? Not ordinary. So write this down. I am extraordinary. I have good genetics. How many can say hallelujah? Amen. Now, I'm going to stop and pray for someone. I'm praying for the guy in the blue shirt. And why don't you come up here? And is that your daughter next to you? I know how to butter bread. I was a chef, man. Do you have that? I want three or four other people to come stand by him besides his bride. And we'd like to do that. Quickly. Let's pray for him. I don't like to throw titles at people because I don't put any pressure on the church, whatever. But he is growing like crazy in God. And one day, I believe that God's giving the heart of a deacon, elder, whatever. Whether you get voted the title or not. People are long, are elders and deacons way before they get the title. Some never get the title, but they act like it anyway. Not out of bossiness or pride, but of, I just want to build the kingdom. It's all about the kids. I am praying, when you build that place, there better be some type of sports thing on that place, including a workout gym. Hallelujah. Maybe a soccer field or something where kids can go and get trained all around the county, maybe the state. I pray God for this man to organize events, get things done in Jesus' name. I pray for every debt to be paid off in the name of Jesus so they can focus. Just build the kingdom. Help me make more to give more in Jesus' name. I pray for God, this man, to be able to do that in Jesus' name. Stop thinking the way you think. You're going to think bigger and better with the help of your almighty God that is in your heart in the name of Jesus. As they plan things, I pray for supernatural divine connections in Jesus' name. That God will have ideas and start forming a plan and you'll bring the resources in. He's got the heart. He's got the awesome partner. God, now it's time for things to manifest in the name of Jesus. Quickly and urgently in the name of Jesus. Let things begin to happen. He'll come to church saying, like, I just got a testimony. I'm hyperventilating. It's not because of who I am, because who He is in me, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Give Him a hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to encourage y'all. When you hear a prophecy to somebody, let it get through them to you. A lot of promises in the Bible were really for specific people that we quote for ourselves. And God's okay with that because He's not a respecter of
persons.
There you go. Again, what was promised? Write that down. Who shut the mouth of lions? Probably from Detroit. Somebody asked me if I'm going to invest in the NFL after all that kneeling stuff. Thought about it. I'm going to invest in Cincinnati. There's more bango for the buck. But not their baseball team. They're always in the Reds. Let's keep going here. The mouths of lions. Write this down. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you listen to. How many parents here have children? Well, that's a parent. And how many warned your children? Be careful who you spend time with. Some of you, all of us sometimes, are listening to the wrong voice. I can't hear you. How many of you ever remember somebody criticizing you? More than the compliments? I had a leader one time over, top leader of a denomination. You should just quit the ministry, told me. Just quit the ministry. That was like 20 years ago. And there's some churches, even in the state. Now our ministry has ordained more people than they have. They've been around for 90 years. I could have listened to that voice, but I tell the voice, "Callate la boca." Write that down. Some of you have been listening to the wrong voice. You come to church here, well, it's positive, and you know, he's cool, and cool hair, and dresses cool, and says these nice things about us, but yeah, you know, it's about me more talking about my neighbor than me. I'm just a who. Right? It's amazing what you can accomplish when you start believing who God's called you to be.
Amen.
It's amazing. But you have to tell those lying voices to shut up. I'm not going to listen to you. If I go 3 days without getting criticized, it's a vacation. Seriously. Right. Hallelujah. And so people tell me, I don't like the way you do it. And I tell them, I don't like the way you don't do it. When you can, hey buddy, do more than I do, in a sense, not trying to compare, but Then you can criticize until then. Callate la boca. And some of you have been listening to the wrong voices right inside your head. I'm too old. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have education. I just got this dumb job. I'll never get anywhere in life. I mean, I'm not this. I'm not that. And if you let that continue on, you will go down that path. I can't hear you. See, when you come to Honduras, hope you will, and you ask our kids what you're going to do for a living, like I said, they're not just going to get some peon job. They're Staminites. Right? They're Staminites. So they might have been an orphan, but they became a Staminite. How many can say hallelujah? People donate clothes. We appreciate that. If you give us ugly clothes, our kids won't wear them. We don't wear that. We'll take them to the garbage dumps and give it to kids that have nothing. But our kids won't wear them because they're what? Say it again. They're King's Kids Staminites. Oh, they're snooty. No, they're not snooty. They know their identity. I can't hear you. My wife doesn't call them by their first name. She calls them by what they're going to be. Hi, engineer. How are you today? Hi, doctor. How are you today? When I talk to my granddaughter, I don't call her Alexa. I call her Dr. Alexa because she wants to be a surgeon. She's 12 years old and skipped two grades. She's $35 a week. She's going to be a doctor. How many can say hallelujah? We can destroy people with our words, but we can change their lives with our words. And it starts with yourself. How do you speak to yourself? When pastor's up here speaking, you're beloved, you're this, you're that, you need to take that into your very being like morsels of life and say, I believe that. I believe that. He's not saying it just to be nice. He's saying it because it's biblical. How many can say amen? 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 All right, I'm going to stop and pray for someone. I'm going to pray for that tall young man, green shirt, hoodie, whatever, before the rapture. He should be up here in 2 seconds with those long legs. Puta. All right, 5, 6 people come stand by him. We're going to pray for him, see what Jesus has to say. Amen and amen and amen. Are you ready? Number one, your family members here?
Yeah.
They might want to come up here.
You have a lot of family.
That's good. Let's pray for him. How many are believing God? He should get scholarships. Absolutely. How old are you? 18. Scholarships. Going to college. Learn to work with your hands, too, because sometimes you need a little backup support. Amen. I pray for him to get not just a regular degree, but at least a bachelor's degree, maybe master's, go forward. I pray for him to coach someday, pouring to young people in Jesus' name, and not be bored in church. Amen. Not like, okay, I'll come because mom wants me to come. It's the right thing to do. How long is it going to last? Pretty girl there. I mean, I just pray by God for the right motivation in Jesus' name. He should be on a mission trip. He should go on a mission trip. Learn to have Christian adventure. Learn to live a risky, exciting, dangerous Christian life. What do you think? I can see him. Hope you're okay with this. I saw an NRA sticker in your car, in your house. I see you shooting guns. I see you protecting people. I see maybe, you know, your life on the line that I'm going to do what I can do to help people out. And I appreciate that, God. Because he honors his family, he'll be honored in Jesus' name. I'll pray for a new hunger for God. That there'll be a fire in his heart. Of all the people I could have called out, God said, call him out. He's got incredible destiny. I pray for him to have many lifetimes in this life, giving it all to God. Not being weird and stupid, but being intelligent, wise, and successful. To God be the glory, great things he has done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Be a champion. Amen. Amen. How many here can't wait to get out of bed in the morning? Amen. Amen. Sleeping is overrated. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, let's go through another point here. Running out of time here. Quench the fury of the flames. Escape the edge of the sword. Write this down. Be a risk taker. Be a risk taker. Well, I don't want to get in debt, so I'm not going to buy a house. Well, if you're renting, you're still kind of in debt. Right? So, rich people aren't worried about being debt-free. Rich people are worried about cash flow. Take a risk. Well, I don't make enough money. Well, then find a different job. If you don't like your job, you picked it. You know what job stands for? Just over broke. People need to invest. God, Christians don't invest. They spend their money on stupid things. When you're done paying your bills, give to God, but also you need to invest. Your money needs to make money. Your money is supposed to be workers working with you. Not trying to take Dennis's message, but the point is that live a life of adventure. People say, I'd like to go on a mission trip, but I'm afraid to fly. Don't be afraid to fly. Pontius was a pilot. If you ever do fly, always sit in seat 3D. It's got the best view, seat 3D. The best view. Wait, take a step of faith and do something you've never done before. What if it doesn't work? What if it does? What if you die? You're going to die anyway. I don't want to die in a nursing home. I want to die doing the will of God. How many can say amen? Well, that's not the will of God for me. I hope that. But the point is this. A lot of people live a boring life because they're afraid it might not work out. We talk about faith, but quenching the flames. When I was 19 years old, I went to Bible school, a cemetery in Minneapolis. I was walking home one night. It was in the inner city. And four guys came up to me and said, "Hey, you." I turned around and said, "What?" And they went, "Bam!" And he kicked me. One of the four guys, and I felt led to run. I had a ministry of the quick and the dead. If I'm not quick, I'm going to be dead. Adventure! And I'm running. And I see this car in front of me. If I think if I take to the left and go to the right, the three stooges will run into the car. So I was watching the Rockford Files. You know what happened to him every time, right? So I faked left, went to the right. I went the wrong direction because my apartment is on the left. And I'm on the right. Oh, man. And there's a guy standing between me and my apartment. I asked what he wanted. I think he wanted to lay hands on me. And I said, "Jesus, help me." And the next thought I had, I was on the other side of the road. I don't know how the chicken got across the road. But it was there. Got the apartment, pulled out the keys, couldn't get the right one, jumped in, shut the door. I don't know what happened, but you know what? God protected me. That was one of a number of instances God's protected my life. We've had biker people come to our house. One of their Hell's Angels, when the outlaws got saved in one of our meetings. And the government sent people to my house saying they're looking for you. So I'll let you know that. Oh, that explains the death threat I just had. And the biker that came to our house unannounced a couple weeks ago when nobody was home, except for my son. The point is this. Live a life of faith. Love people more than you've ever loved people before. Take a risk of getting burnt, because you might be a burnt offering. Amen? So take out your pen and paper. We're almost done. Write down, what are you going to do by faith? What's your faith step? What is God stirring you to do? What does God want you to do that's beyond we can ask or imagine? Write that down. I can only ask or imagine. That could be a song. I can only imagine. Maybe even a movie. So what are you asking for? What are you imagining for? Say, by faith.
By faith.
Here's a great quote. If you can believe it, God can achieve it.
Amen.
If you believe it, God can achieve it. And He can achieve a lot. Amen?
That's right.
All right, we're going to pray for the man in the back. He's got a blue shirt on, sitting around, lady in the blonde. I think I must have prayed for your kid, I guess. Why don't you come up here and roll your eyes if you can. And people want to stand by him. See what Jesus has to say. Probably praying like, "Oh God, I hope He doesn't call me out." Ha! I'm ignoring what you're thinking. Do you know this guy here? Yeah. Yeah, then you should stand up by him. Yeah. And the kid behind you, too, that I just prayed for. Are you ready? Here you go. Here's what God has shown me. I really believe this with all my heart. Is this. You work hard. You're diligent. You're gifted. You're every bit as called to the kingdom as the pastor. It's different. It's not the same. Now, what I like about you is you're competitive. In a Holy Spirit way, right? And God, I pray that you speak to him, and no, he didn't tell me to call you up. Holy Spirit told me to call you up. Because there's a call of God in your life to reach people a lot of people here can't reach. Now, you think too much, and you analyze too much. Am I talking to you?
Yeah.
You've been analyzing me the whole meeting. And when I talk about risk-taking and adventure, it's you. Could you not see a guy like this getting a bunch of guys? We're going to go pick a bar somewhere. There's a lot of bad donkey people. And just say, as bad as you can be, Jesus still loves you. where it's full of Harley Davidsons, and about 5-7 of you guys walk up and say, God loves you guys. I want to pray for you. So God, I pray that you bless him. I believe this. God's going to make you supernaturally, financially, very successful. I'm not talking about, you know, paying your bills and being debt-free. Not even being a millionaire. Way more than that. To help finance some of these projects. Because there's a lot of things this church is going to do. This church is going to have training centers around the world. And in the lady next to you, is that your... there? That's your yeah? Okay, right, yeah. No. Not, that was a guy. That was this one right there, yeah. That was Larry. No, this is not that kind of church. No. But I believe this. That the call of God is all repentance. It's there, and God's going to stir things up. It is so exciting. The people you're going to meet is incredible. I have a friend of mine who met with the governor of your state. God help him. And he meets with governors. Those are the kind of people that I'm starting to meet, that I believe one day you're going to start meeting, because you're going to have solutions to problems for cities in Jesus' name. They're studying, like, if this city would only have this, dot, dot, dot. I mean, I went through the town the other night. All the bars were open, now it's dead. So what do people do for fun? Go to the bar. I pray for something that's different that people enjoy, that you're involved in Jesus' name. You've got to pray for millionaire ideas to come across his brain. Give him the favor of people that want to invest in that in Jesus' name. Amen. Is that good? Thanks for coming, man. You're needed. You know that, right? All right. Give him a hand in Jesus' name. Amen. And I really want you to come on a mission trip. Hello? I want you to come on a mission trip with me. I don't care if it's just for 2 days. And just check it out. And watch God begin to drop in big vision in your life.
Mr. Right on with that. Right on.
Thank you, Mr. Bullet. Thank you. Appreciate that. Awesome. This church is like way too much fun. I'll be calling you this afternoon to get a rebooking. I'm telling you that right now. So I got to give you just one little nugget. One more, then we'll have to wrap it up. It's this. Women receive back their dead and raised to life again. This is just one little nugget thing that we'll be done here in a couple minutes. But write this down. God wants to resurrect something in your life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. A lot of you had dreams and desires, and they just died. And you thought it's never going to happen again. God wants to begin to stir that up in you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
By faith, say by faith.
By faith.
So almost everything I've ever done in life, I failed the first time. The second time, God helped me do it, but then he got all the credit. You know the average millionaire goes bankrupt twice? I'm halfway there. The point is, we try things, we risk things, and then we get blessed, and sometimes it doesn't work out right. But there's things that God is putting in your heart. And he wants you to begin to believe again. It'll never happen. That's what the world says. And God says, it can happen. When the world says impossible, God says, I'm possible. I'm not just talking theory. I'm talking reality. Does that make sense? What is God putting in your heart? What is he putting in your heart? What does he want to resurrect? When I was a child, my grandparents both had farms. I just wanted to be a farmer. I want to drive my grandpa and drive a John Deere tractor. None of the fakey blue stuff or red. You don't like John Deere. You are not a Christian. No. Do you not know the Bible says, as a deer panteth for the water? Book of John Deere. Dude. Okay. Yeah, case isn't in there. Get off your case. No. So God opened a door because he began to show me you can't just feed orphans and ask people for money. You have to raise your own food. So now Honduras, temporarily, they're having strikes. They have this every so often. They shut down roads. Can't get food in. But we don't have to worry about that because we raise our food.
Amen.
Amen? And so God put in my heart to build a farm. I don't have to do any work. I don't have to get dirty. I just get to tell them what to do. I mean, encourage them what to do. Right? We raise a lot of corn. There's a kernel of truth in that. Right? And so I want to encourage you. Just now, we're almost done. What dream is in your heart that God wants to resurrect? It may seem almost impossible, but it can happen. Right? Now, no, put down that you want to play for the Chicago Bears. It's probably not going to happen. Maybe the Vikings, because they need help. But what dream is there? Let God resurrect it. And then he gets all the glory. How many can say amen? We're going to stop and pray for a person that has probably the most pressure on her than anybody else in the church. And it is Pastor Steve, your wife. And we want to pray for her. Come on over here. And we want to honor her. So I want you to stand up. And of course, her son's back there. And I want a bunch of women up here because she might not be in the forefront. But pastor's wives take a lot of heat. And there's not a whole lot of people they can talk to. And so I want you ladies to come up here, put a hand on her shoulder. Pastor, for sure, Pastor Steve. And let me put a hand on your wife's shoulder there and just pray for her. And here we go. So God, we thank you, God, for her to have supernatural joy. Just like, I just really like my life. I am blessed and honored. And one day, God's going to give you, not give you, you have to pay for it, but a home somewhere further away. You're still going to maybe have the home you're in now, but another home just to get away. To hear God, to be blessed for your family. Where you can walk outside, nobody cares that you're there. And just a little private place. Why? She deserves it. Vacation. Get away. Don't work 52 weeks a year. Get away from this place and enjoy. Maybe it's a place down in Florida. God, open those doors in Jesus' name. She can teach and inspire women to be women of prayer and women to be godly and love their husbands. And God, I just see her one day. You're writing a book or two, all right? I just see her write a book too. I would pray that this church will minister to pastors' wives. How many pastors' wives' conferences were there last year in Illinois? Maybe not any. But you can have one here. People are going to come here and teach and encourage. She's going to be transparent without letting people destroy her. In Jesus' name. Thank you that this man married up. I don't know how you got her to marry her. You must be a really good salesperson. Amen. Right? She gets things done. She is a Proverbs 31 woman. She's good with finances. She's sweet and kind. And she makes her husband look good. Really good. In Jesus' name. So bless her with vacation. Don't be jealous if they take a vacation. Don't be jealous if they have a getaway place someday. Don't be jealous. Because you know what? God might spank you and make you a pastor's wife. Not that you're getting spanked. But the point is, they deserve to be blessed. So when is pastor's wife appreciation? Oh, they don't have one. Yeah, they're not that important. I'm saying is, some of you ladies are going to get together in the next week and say, we are planning the most unbelievable. We want to bless the pastor's wife. That other church will hear it and go like, gosh, wish I could have got that church in Lena. Maybe I'll move from Ole. Give her a hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. You can be seated. I want everybody to bow your heads as you sit down. Shut your eyes after you're seated. I want to ask you a question. Are you ready to meet Jesus? God doesn't want anybody here to go to hell. God wants everybody here to go to heaven. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the resurrection. We don't deserve it. No Jewish person obeyed the law perfectly except for Jesus. That's why we needed the Savior. And He died for you. And you need Jesus. If you need to give your heart to Jesus, or maybe even come back to Jesus, we're not here to judge you. We just want you in the kingdom. I just want you to raise your hand as high as you can and give your life to Jesus if you need to do that. There's already a hand in the air. This is awesome. And I'm going to count to three. If you need to give your life to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand as high as you can on the count of three. Are you ready? One, two, three. Raise your hand as high as you can. Let me count the hands. We have one, two. Keep them up there, please. Three, four, five. Okay. Amen. Drop your hands. Everybody put your hands on your heart. Everybody put your hands on your heart. We're going to pray. Say, Jesus, save me. Forgive me. Come in my heart. Wash away my sins. I believe in Jesus. Jesus is Lord. He died for me and rose from the dead and is coming again. And I repent and turn to God in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand for those six people. Amen and amen and amen. As we say in Honduras, bienvenidos al reino de Dios. Welcome to the kingdom of God. I'm going to go through a quick PowerPoint, a little video. Get you done because I know you want to eat. But I'm going to stay and pray for people so I can eat when I get to heaven. After all the good food I ate at your house, I should eat a week from now. But go ahead and start the PowerPoint. Before the rapture. I'm seeing a shaking of the head. That is not a good sign. You got a what? Okay, while we're waiting impatiently for that to happen, there's a lady in the scarf. Why don't you come up here in the brown hair and your glasses sitting like that? There you go. And when some people can stand by her, if you know how to fix that, please go to the back and let's get that thing working. Please. Okay. Ladies, come stand by her. We're going to pray for her in Jesus' name. Are you ready? Here we go. Father God, we pray you stir up prophetic giftings in her in the name of Jesus. That she's going to make proclamations and declarations. Father God, I pray that she'll speak in the lives of women words of comfort, edification, and strengthening in Jesus' name. We pray, God, that you use her to work with people and help them overcome their weaknesses and their afflictions and their addictions in Jesus' name. I pray, God, for her to walk in authority. That, God, she knows who she is in Christ. That, God, she learns things like from Todd White, Love and Power Conference. Learn who we are and that we have the gifts of the Spirit, that she will use them, not just in the church, but in the world, in the secular world, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that the fire of God will not burn out of her life in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, for to rescue even young women in Jesus' name and disciple them and pour in them. God, we speak to her. Every debt paid off in Jesus' name. Send her to the nations to bring the love of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Give her a hand in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, are you ready? So it is not working. It is not working. Okay, this is not a good sign. Do you have HDMI? Do you guys have HDMI here? Okay, we will do. If not, I have an HDMI cable. You have to wait this warm up. Okay, all right. I just lost 5 pounds of sweat. Okay. We have the right one. In my computer, or do I need an HDMI cable? That's got to warm up. It takes a second. I have an HDMI cord. DJ, okay. Hold on, I got to turn it.
Yeah,
okay, hold on. Just grab this a second. No. I got it. There you go. Okay, we did set this up before the meeting, so listen. Okay. Okay, here we go. Sorry, folks. Okay, you got the VGA cable?
So Tom is... Reverend Stammen is going to be staying after and ministering to folks. So anybody that wants to have that happen, you're welcome to do that. has agreed to be here as long as it takes to make that happen. And I'm kind of doing a commercial for this because there are, off the top of my head, there's 6 or 8 families that are here right now that things in their life are radically different because of things that he prophesied 1 year ago. So if that is something that you want to have happen in your life, I want to encourage you to stay after and allow that to take place. Nobody's required to, but you're welcome to.
You're so awesome. Can we give your pastor a hand for being such a man of God? By the way, I hate to say this, you're going to need a good TV program thing. So I got us some people you need to talk to in Branson, Missouri. They have a training school for that, so I'm excited about that. We'll go through this real quick. Go ahead and tap it. I can talk fast. I'm from Minnesota. If I don't talk fast, I freeze to death. Our scripture, Luke 19:17, says, if you're faithful with 5 coins, you get 10 cities. Tap it. We want to make 10 impacts around the world. Tap it. And we, for example, we have land in Uganda. Tap it again. In Uganda, we believe agriculture changes culture. So we believe agriculture is part of Christianity. So we raise corn, bananas, and pigs on 100 acres. We have 15 families that live on our property. It's like a small little town. They're all Muslims. I hope they're okay with the pigs, but we were there first. Next. In Liberia, next. One of the poorest countries in the world. Average salary, Liberia and Sierra Leone, $400 a year. And a lot of prices are the same as they are here. So in Liberia, we have girls' dorms, we have 23 churches and 2 orphanage buildings and 9 acres of rubber trees. So we're helping the country bounce back. Next. In Sierra Leone, next. My wife just went there. There are over 300,000 orphans in Sierra Leone. Next. There's my wife up there, next to the Hispanic lady, next to the African lady. Next. And this is the property we want to buy. It's already got a school's building started. And our goal is to build a 1,000-child city in Sierra Leone. We're negotiating for some property. New Lisbon, Wisconsin is where our safe house is. It's halfway between Madison and La Crosse. And we can house up to 35 girls. Last year, we rescued our first girl from sex trafficking. Hallelujah. Amen. Next. And next. We believe in evangelism. People need Jesus. That's why we're here in this world, is to share the gospel. One of the best places to do that, when people are on vacation. Best vacation place, Wisconsin Dells. And 4 square miles, over 4 million people come. That's the size of 24 states and 41 nations. Next, we built we're building a training center. It started from scratch. There it is. To train evangelists. Secondly, I'm getting older. How many are getting older? And one day, how am I going to pay for my orphanage? Well, this building is 7 blocks from the water parks on the river. We can rent it out and pay for our orphanage. Amen. Next. In Peru, next. My wife wants to build a wellness clinic. How many know you are what you eat? Okay, so health is very important. And so the bottom floor is a wellness center. The top 3 floors are for people to rent, tourists, and the tourist money will pay for the doctors. Next, it's right on the ocean. In Belize. Anybody been to Belize? One of my favorite songs is Belize Navidad. Hey, I'm a Belizer now. So we have a safe house, the only safe house in the big city, Belize City, in Belize. Next. In Honduras, next. We raise all our own cows, about 40 of them, and our own cheese and butter. We raise about 750 chickens every 6 weeks, and pigs. We'll talk about that later. Next. We raise rabbits, because they multiply like... Yes. And we also raise tilapia and goats and sheep. Next. We raise all our own protein. So when this big strike problem is happening in Honduras, our kids have meat. We also raise 100 dozen eggs a day for now. And within 2 months, we'll be raising 200 dozen eggs a day. We raise our own guavas and mangoes, avocados, and our own corn and beans next. And vegetables next. We want to be self-sustaining. Here's my engineer. 2 years ago, next, that grass was all rock. And we turned it into a grass pasture. Next. Education is a key. We have a K-9 school down there. And when our kids graduate from college, we don't kick them out. Either they go to college or they go to furniture making we have on our property, or they learn how to do welding on the property. Next. The girls are learning how to work in the beauty shop, or they go to college. They also can learn how to make clothes. So we have a clothing store. Some people have accused me of starting a sweatshop. Unbelievable, because we have air conditioning. Next. We have boys' dorms. Next. Here's our girls' dorms. Next. Here's our babies' dorms. Next. And we ran out of space, so now we're taking 2 classrooms and making another girls' dorms. This pastor and I wrestled against each other in high school. He beat me twice. I forgave him. And we have a wrestling mat next, where the NCAA guy is coming, Dan Russell. We hired, how many heard of FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes? The head guy over Central and South America came to Honduras, and we hired the Honduras FCA guy to work with us, teaching sports. Next. Here's our 2 soccer fields. My wife gets a kick out of it. Next. We have a medical clinic. How many have heard of John Bevere? Mike Huckabee. Their church in Destin sent a team of doctors and dentists down to our place, and that's what it looks like. They're coming back in September, that church. Next. We have volleyball. I'm the tallest. I get to win. So the kids always say, I'm hitting it too hard. I just tell them just to move. We have our own basketball court. Doubles as corn drying. Aw, shucks. Next. We have a chapel in the mountains next for preaching. Pastor Steve, do you see it there? When it's 30 below here, it's 80 there. Yeah. All of you can come down. We have our own hotel. Ladies say, I don't want to go to Honduras. They have bugs. And they have snakes. Well, we have our own hotel. We designed it for the princess and you. Air-conditioned and nice. Now, for some of you tough soldier boys, if you want to have a real tough mission trip, you can sleep by the pigs. What do pigs smell like? Money. Next. And this is our baptismal tank. You can get sprinkled, dunked, or water-slided. So we invite all the orphanages to come. There's hundreds of them to come for free to our baptismal tank to have fun. Every good memory heals a bad memory. They've been abused, neglected, raped, you know, all these different things. Swimming heals the heart. We had a Catholic orphanage come with 20 single moms, little babies swimming in the pool. Isn't that cool? With diapers. I hope they work. It all depends. We have a I would have got done in time, but you know, that's kind of goofed up back there. But all right, we have a 200-bed dormitory, okay? And it's the biggest orphanage in Honduras. House up to 200 kids in one building. Anybody want to volunteer? 200 in one building? We have a mechanical shop, so kids learn how to fix cars and motorcycles. They feel exhausted. We have our own butcher shop and our own grocery store and restaurant and bakery. So we've created, are you listening? 85 jobs. So the 20,000 people in the area, we're the number one employer. And they have to go to Bible study. You can do that down in that country. Okay. And I preached down there. 180 of our workers and family members got saved in one meeting. Here's our apartment complex. We have three of them next. We're building another house across the river for farmers. The number one problem we have in agriculture, two-legged coyotes. Here's our Juan Deere tractor, son. Juan Deere. It's wonderful. Next. Write it down. Okay. We have an art room. Next. Our kids are great artists. And next, we're selling their art to pay for their college. They're becoming entrepreneurs. Here's our music room next. Music is instrumental to success. Here's our kids playing music. We took in 12 new kids so far this year. Got 8 more on the list. Next. We built a new chicken barn to get another 100 dozen eggs a day. Creates jobs and food. Here's our kitchen we had remodeled because we ran out of space. Next. We're building a 9,000-square-foot pig barn. They're putting on the roof. We'll be able to house up to 400 baby pigs. Our goal is to have 1,000 pigs. Next. Here's our high school and college. Okay, we talked about that before. That classroom is done. That's classroom number 2. And we raise up kids to go to that college right there is what our goal is, 5-year plan to raise up great students. Next. Real quickly, here's our kids that we have custody of, 54. Next. This is my wife, Dr. Teresa. Next. This is some engineers we work with from a little company called John Deere and Moline. Here's some of the kids that go to our school. Next. And here's some of our workers next. And this guy on the right needs deliverance next. This is what our place looked like in 08 next. And here's what it looks like today. We're going to show just a 4-minute video, get you done. Nobody's going to die of starvation between now and then. Just 4 minutes, so go ahead and turn that on. Hopefully it will work. There you go. Oh, all things are possible. Thank you, sound people, for getting that right.